I want to invite you, please, to the fourth chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. We're reading today from the Berean Study Bible. I love this version. I read through this version last year. Berean Study Bible, it's beautiful. Let's read together. So Joshua summoned the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of Israel, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask, 'What do these stones mean to you?' you are to tell them, 'The waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters were cut off. Therefore, these stones will be a memorial to the Israelites forever.'" Last week, we looked at Joshua and the children of Israel finally crossing the Jordan into the promised land. And after they crossed, God instructed Joshua to take 12 stones from the river and set them up as a memorial. These stones would remain as evidence of what God had done. These stones would remind future generations of God's power, which he displayed, and his covenant kept in bringing his people into the promised land. And I love the way the question is asked by the children of the future generations. What do these stones mean to you? Not simply what do these stones mean, but what do these stones mean to you? I love that because there are some things that cannot remain somebody else's revelation. You kind of missed that, so let me share it again. There are some things that cannot remain somebody else's revelation. You see, the next generation could inherit the stones. They could inherit the story. They could hear the testimony of what God had done, and it was an incredible thing which God had done in bringing his people out of bondage and bringing them into the land of promise. And the future generations could hear all about that. They could inherit those stones. They could inherit the story. They heard that testimony. But eventually, what one generation knew about God needed to become personal revelation for the next generation. You see, we can inherit traditions, we can inherit stories, testimonies, even the memory of what God has done for his people, but we cannot live forever on somebody else's revelation. At some point, I have to know God for myself. At some point, I have to know that God is faithful, that God is good. I have to know that God keeps his word. I have to come to that understanding myself. What began as somebody's testimony, someone else's good report, must become my revelation. Every generation eventually finds itself standing somewhere it has never stood before. And when everything around us is changing, we need something that we know for ourselves that keeps us fixed. Something that we know. Paul said, "I know in whom I have believed." The man who was healed in John chapter 9, he said, "One thing I know." Whether he is a sinner, because the Pharisees were after him and saying, "Come on, this man who healed you as a sinner." He said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know. Whereas before I was blind, now I can see. You don't have to know much, but you need to know the right stuff. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Every generation eventually finds itself standing somewhere it has never stood before. And when everything around us is changing, we need something that we know for ourselves, that we can hold on to, that keeps us fixed. Throughout the series, we've been looking at people standing at moments of enormous transition. We've been focusing on change and transition in our series together. We looked at Abraham, who stood between the Ur of the Chaldees and Canaan. We looked at Rahab, who stood between Jericho and an entirely new future for her and her family. Joshua, we saw last week, he stood between the wilderness and the promised land. And now we come to the New Testament today. And we're going to take a few moments to consider the disciples, the incredible transition that the disciples encountered. God has entered us and brought us into a season of transition here in Nairobi Lighthouse Church. And we're learning valuable lessons and insights that we can really hold on to that will keep us fixed for what God has ahead of us as a church, as individuals. There's so much more. Amen. So we're going to take a few moments and we're going to consider the disciples today, and we're going to learn a lesson from them. The disciples are standing just as Abraham stood between the Ur and Canaan, and Rahab between Jericho and an entirely new future, Joshua between the wilderness and promised land. Now the disciples, they're standing in a place between the ministry of Jesus as they have known it and now something completely new. These are different people. All the people we've considered are different. They're different transitions, but they all have the same challenge. How do you remain fixed when the future doesn't look like the past? How do you stay the course? How do you remain center line and stay focused on what God has already prepared and laid out before us? We can stay fixed for the future, number one, because Jesus is constant. Jesus is constant, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything else changes, but Jesus is constant. He said, I am God, I change not. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's constant. We go through change. We go through transitions in life. But Jesus is that pillar, of that foundation upon which we stand, that firm foundation that we sang of today. Jesus is constant. Number two, because we can stay fixed for the future. Secondly, because God's word is our reliable guide. His word. Oh, I pray you fall in love with the word of God again. Never lose your love and your desire for this word right here. This word guides us. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, when I send him to you, he will not speak of himself, but he will take that which I have revealed unto you, or I have spoken unto you, and he will declare it. He will reveal it into your hearts and into your lives. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Begin to speak in a new language. Amen. And we can stay fixed for the future because God's purpose gives us, number three, God's purpose gives us courage to move forward. So Jesus is constant. This is how we can stay fixed for what's before us. He's not going anywhere. Because God's word, secondly, is our reliable guide. Thirdly, because God's purpose gives us courage to move forward. Now, today is part four, staying fixed for the future. Come on, staying fixed, everybody, for our future. So let me give you a little backstory about the disciples. We're going to consider them for the next few moments. The disciples had spent years with Jesus. They had walked with him, eaten with him, listened to him teach, and they had watched him perform miracles. Then they watched him die. And they encountered him after his resurrection. But now another enormous transition was taking place. Jesus was leaving. Jesus was leaving. Acts chapter 1 tells us that he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid him from their sight. Now, because we have the Bible, we know what happens next. But they didn't. This Bible, what transpired with them was being written. It was written as a result of what they encountered. So we know what happened next, but they didn't. Jesus is taken up before their very eyes. A cloud hid him from their sight. And we know what happens next, but they didn't. We know Pentecost is coming. They had never experienced Pentecost. We know what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They had no frame of reference for what was about to happen. They had already been told by Jesus that the Holy Spirit was coming and that they would receive power. He told them that they would become his witnesses to the ends of the earth, but they did not know what any of that was going to look like. How would the Holy Spirit come? When would he come? What would happen when he came? How long would they have to wait? What would following Jesus look like now that he was no longer physically walking beside them? They had been given instructions for a future that they could not see. Are you connecting with me today? Come on, let's just put ourselves in their shoes for a little. You know, it's wonderful. We can open and read all about it. And like, wow, and even sometimes we can get down on the disciples. You know, like, why didn't they shape up? Why were they always struggling? You know, we've got the book. We can read all about it. But just take a moment. You've committed your life for 3.5 years. You've followed this man. You've left your family. You've left everything behind. You've walked with him. And now he's taken up out of your sight. And they had only been given his instructions. But there was so much that they could not see. A future before them that was just almost like unfathomable. We thought you were the Messiah. We thought you were the one. There must have been such grief in that moment. They loved Jesus. They had built their lives around following him. And now the way they had known him was changing. The future was uncertain. But Jesus left them, he had left them with an instruction. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Here are his words to his disciples, which he told them, once I am gone, once I have left, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. Acts chapter 1 verse 4. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In a few days. Do you know how many days it was? From Passover to Pentecost is 50 days. You know, Jesus is an eternal being. And when he says a few days, that can mean, you know, David said, a day in thy court is as 1,000 years. They did not understand everything that was coming, but they understood what Jesus had said. Stay, return to Jerusalem, wait. Watcha. That's it. Stay. Do not leave Jerusalem. Stay. Return to the city and wait. And that is exactly what they did. Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14 tells us that they returned to Jerusalem, went upstairs to the room where they were staying, and they all joined together constantly in prayer. So they had received instructions from Jesus. And so they obeyed. They returned to Jerusalem, Acts 1:12. They went upstairs to the room where they were staying. And verse 14 says they all joined together constantly in prayer. So they stayed together. They stayed prayerful. They stayed obedient. And most importantly, they stayed within the instruction Jesus had given them. This is so incredible to take hold of when you're going through transition in your life. And I'm about to preach this thing now. I'm kind of just warming up my motor, okay? And I'm kind of just getting the foundation, the thing laid out so that we can really start now moving and preaching this thing. They stayed within the instructions that Jesus had given them. They did not have clarity about everything that was coming next, but they had clarity about what Jesus had already said. So we can stay fixed. Number four, we can stay fixed for the future because the promise is worth waiting on. We can stay fixed for our future because what God has spoken, He is well able to perform. We can stay fixed for our future because the promise is worth waiting. It's worth waiting on. Sometimes staying fixed for the future does not mean knowing what happens next. Sometimes staying fixed for the future does not mean knowing what happens next. Sometimes it means knowing what God has already said. Sometimes to stay fixed for our future means knowing what God has already said and refusing to move away from it while we wait for what He has promised. This is it. Sometimes it means just reminding yourself. Deuteronomy 8 says, you shall remember the way that the Lord thy God has led thee all these years to humble thee, to know what is in your heart. It goes on to say in that chapter, you will remember what has been spoken, what has been declared to you when you come into the land, when you face all the issues that will be dealt with coming into the land, you will remember. Sometimes it's important to, Paul talks about stirring up our pure minds of remembrance. Sometimes to stay fixed for what is before you, you just have to hang on. You have to hang on to the promise of God. You have to, once again, go to your mirror, look yourself in the face, and begin to preach yourself a sermon. Begin to declare what God has already spoken to you. You can't see the way ahead of you. Everything looks hazy and bleak. It doesn't look like it's coming together. Go and put yourself in remembrance of what God has said. Sometimes it takes to stay fixed for our future. It means knowing what God has already spoken and refusing to move away from what God has already declared while we wait for what he has promised. There's something powerful about the fact that the disciples stayed. There's something very powerful about the fact that the disciples did not scatter. They could have easily scattered. They could have decided that they had waited long enough. They could have allowed uncertainty to stand or to send them in different directions. They could have tried to manufacture their own next step. But the promise was worth waiting on. The promise was worth staying for. The promise was worth refusing to be moved. They did not know when the promise would come, nor what the promise would look like. But they trusted the one who had made the promise. So just as we sang, stay in the room. Just stay in the room. Stay in prayer. Stay in the word. Stay in obedience. Stay together. Come on, church. We look out at our future. We're in a season of transition. And we can't stand before you today and lay it all out perfectly clear. But one thing we are going to do as a congregation, we're going to stay together. We're going to stay together. We're going to walk this thing out. And we're going to hold our course. Come on. Because God has given great promises over us as a people. God has given us great promises as a church. And yes, we're in a season of change. Yes, we're in a season of transition. And this transition will continue right through until our 40th anniversary next March. And so, hey, we're going to stay in the room, everybody. We're not scattering. Come on, we're staying fixed. We're in prayer. We're in the word. We're staying the course. We're staying together. We stay with what God has already said. Uncertainty about what God is doing next. Listen to this. Uncertainty about what God is doing next is not permission to abandon what God has already told us to do. I don't know if you got that or not. Uncertainty about what God is doing next is not permission to abandon what God has already told us to do. Sometimes the most important thing we can do in transition is simply remain faithful to the last clear instruction that God gave us and to trust that what He has promised is worth the wait. Acts chapter 2. And verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, the first part of that says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice that word, suddenly. Suddenly. Come on, I decree a suddenly in your life today. I want to speak a suddenly over you today. Suddenly, the thing that Jesus had promised happened. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit came. The disciples received power. And the church entered something it had never experienced before. But notice where they were when the promise came. Notice where they were. Where were they? They were where Jesus told them to be. They weren't off gallivanting. They weren't off here and there. They were where Jesus told them to be. Their obedience positioned them for what was next. We don't have to understand everything. Somebody needs to hear this today. We don't have to understand everything God is doing in order to obey what God has said. In fact, many times you won't understand what God is doing, what God is up to next. Ours is just to obey what He's already told us. Amen? And this brings us back to the stones. 12 stones. Each leader of the 12 tribes was to take from the Jordan, from inside the Jordan, when they walked across that Jordan, each leader was to take a stone. And those 12 stones were set up as a memorial so that in the future, when your children ask, what do these stones mean to you? Not simply what do these stones mean, but what do these stones mean to you? What has God spoken to you? What has God shown you? Let's just go back to those stones as we finish. What has God shown you? What has He spoken to you? What revelation have you received? What word have you heard? What have you learned about God's character down through the years of following Him? What promises have become more than words on a page because you have lived them? You have walked them out. What do you know about God now that nobody could talk you out of? What do you know about God right now that no one can convince you otherwise? Those are your stones. Those are your stones. Those are moments in our lives when God reveals Himself to us in ways that we must not forget. Moments when He provided. Moments when He answered. Moments when He carried us. Moments when His Word became alive to us. Moments when He gave us clear instruction. Moments when He proved Himself faithful. Moments when He came and just embraced you. Didn't necessarily say anything to you, just you felt His presence and you felt His embrace and you felt His love and you just began to weep and in His presence. And those were moments, intimate moments with Christ. What does that mean to you? To you. Even though you can't see ahead and things are not easily discernible and distinguished ahead, but what do those moments mean to you? What have you seen in your relationship with Him down through the years? What has been shown to you of His character, of His characteristics, of His faithfulness? When we enter seasons where we don't know what comes next, we go back to those stones. We go back to those moments. When we enter seasons where it's not coming together easily. Thank you. And it's like, what do? We go back to those moments. You see, change has a way of revealing borrowed convictions. Change has a way of revealing borrowed convictions. When circumstances change, I need to know what I believe. Not just what somebody else believes. I need to know this God in whom I have believed. I need to grasp. I need to take hold of when familiar things change. I need to know who I trust. Jesus has left, and He left with one set of instructions to His disciples. Jesus is handing everything to them. He's for 3.5 years, He's given everything to others, and He's healed, and He's taught the multitudes, and He's done amazing things. But now, as He's leaving, He's putting it all on their shoulders, telling them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But before you go, you stay. Before you go, you stay. You stay in Jerusalem. You stay in the room. You don't leave. And in a few days, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and empower you so that you can go and preach the gospel to all nations, so that you can go and be martyrs. That's what it means. You shall be my witnesses. That word is martyrs. You shall be my witnesses to the very ends of the earth. Once you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses. You will have the power to even give up your life for me. So when circumstances change, I need to know what I believe. When familiar things change, I need to know who I trust. When I cannot see what is next, I need to know what God has already said. The disciples, yes, they had walked with Jesus. They knew him. They had seen his faithfulness. They had heard his words. They had experienced his power. So when he gave them an instruction that they did not completely understand, they trusted the one who had spoken. You see, personal revelation produces conviction. When you have it on the inside of you, I know that I know that I know, it produces conviction. Personal insight into this word produces conviction. Come on. And conviction gives us something to stand on. When everything around us feels unfamiliar, there will be moments when we do not have a new word. There will be moments when God has not yet shown us the next thing. And in those moments, we stay fixed to what he has already said. The disciples did not know what Pentecost would look like, but they knew what Jesus had told them. So they stayed in the room. And perhaps for some of us, that is the instruction in this season for you. Stay in the room. Stay in the word. Stay in prayer. Stay together. Stay obedient. Stay fixed to what God has already said, because the promise is worth waiting on. The promise is worth staying for. The promise is worth not being moved. Can you give Jesus, the head of the church? Let's give him all the glory and the honor right now. Unto him who is able to do, unto him who makes a way, unto him who directs our steps. I want to pray for you right now. You've had this urge to run. I want to pray for you that you'll stay in the room. You've had this, perhaps things are just unsure right now and situations in your life. The promise of God seems to have grown faint. I want to encourage you to stay in the word and stay with the word. You're being challenged in areas of your life where you look ahead and you see, goodness, how is this all going to come to be? How is this going to happen? I want to encourage you to go back to the last instruction, the clear word of the Lord that you've been standing on, and don't give up. Quit ye like men. I mean, stand and hold your course. Lift your hand if I can pray a prayer of agreement with you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, look upon us as your people right now. Look upon every heart that is being raised to you. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that has imparted your word deep into our hearts. God, in these moments right now, these moments of confusion, these moments perhaps of fear, anxiety, Lord, help us to remember those moments of embrace, those moments when you came by the Holy Spirit and you poured yourself into us, those moments where you brought us through. At those moments, our testimony stands, where you delivered us and you provided for us. Lord, I know there's individuals right now that they don't know what or how the provision is coming, where it's coming from. When will it come? Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that we will just stay with you, that we will stay in the room. We will stay together. We will stay prayerful. We will stay in your word. And God, we will see. In Jesus' name, we shall see once more the glory of the Lord. We shall see once more the supernatural manifestation of your presence and of your provision. I call for your people now, Lord, to receive even your embrace right now. God, I thank you for embracing your church today, embracing your people today. And we love you and give you the glory. We stand as a church, even for our future and what you have laid before us, God. We stay together. We walk by the hope and the help of the Holy Spirit as your people called of the Lord. And we give you the honor and the glory for where you're bringing us. In Jesus' name, amen. And I decree it's done in the name of the Lord. Everybody, I want you to have a great week this week. Stay in the room. Stay in the word. Stay in prayer. Have an amazing week. God bless you.